Welcome to Course Correction. My name is Sean Willett, and I'm joined by Jason Herring and Melanie Woods. And this is a podcast where we make university courses because we're so good at that. How are you guys doing?
You know, I'm all right today, Sean.
Okay, that's good to hear, Jason.
I'm doing all right. The sun's shining. I fixed our office printer. I am immortal. It is fantastic.
That's good to hear, Melanie. This is the new improved course correction, where we are focused and we're going to just kill it 100% of the time. And hopefully by that, I mean we don't kill anyone. Because we've had a kind of like string of deaths, kind of like in terms of the courses that we've been making. Last week's reality show prep course, Joe Rogan crushed a kid's head with his hands. Just like in Game of Thrones, just pop. It was bad.
But as they say, you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet, right?
Yeah, and that kind of came true pretty literally in terms of vis-a-vis egg cracking and omelet eating. So Joe Rogan has been let go. And by that, I mean he is being left in the wilderness to hopefully find his way back to civilization and kill me. And
best of luck to him on that mission.
Yeah, no, I'm wishing him all the luck in the world. And so we got a new course that we have been assigned to make this week. And this is out of my control. It's come from the higher ups. Got a slip of paper just slid underneath my office door. Because I have an office.
Do you?
Yeah, you haven't seen it, but it's great. So underneath my office door, and it said just in like cutout magazine letters, Pokemon Go.
No.
No?
Sure.
I mean, like, there's several ways we could interpret that threat that I received.
Oh, Pokemon Go.
But all of them have to do with Pochemon, as it were.
Oh, boy.
So this is kind of everything that anyone's talking about. So it feels like we have to address it, right?
Yeah.
I think if we're going to do it, we ought to lean in.
Yeah, we ought to lean in.
We've all, speaking on like behalf of the Gauntlet, who's overseeing this, we have already leaned heavily into the Pokemon Go. So you're right. We might as well just lean right off the cliff.
Yeah, we wrote an editorial about Pokemon Go. I wrote one. Oh, boy.
You wrote an editorial about Pokemon Go. I wrote a 800-word mini feature on Pokemon Go.
Wow.
And we did our cover on Pokemon Go.
Wow. Might as well wrap it up.
So, you know, why not do
and
the radio,
And then we never
too?
Mention Pokemon Go in the paper again.
No, this is it. This is one.
Just, like, get all the feelings out. And then just
the only circumstance I want to be writing about it is if there's like a Pokemon Go killer on campus.
Holy shit.
The Somebody Pokemon
who's like,
Go killer.
I set up a lure in this back alley and then there's murdering.
Oh, there's a lot of murdering. All right. So there's a few ways we can take this. What comes to your guys' heads first? A Pokemon Go themed course. So the University of Calgary is obviously, they're struggling with admissions.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling with kids enrolling into their courses. So they want to try to capitalize on the zeitgeist while it's still hot and fresh. So they want a course that's going to entice those Pokemon Go players to sign up for courses and give them their hard-earned bucks.
The one that strikes the most obvious to me is like a very specific hyper-localized course on Pokemon Go at the U of C. The U of C is like very isolated in a lot of ways from the rest of the Pokemon Go culture in that it has like so many Pokestops and like five different gyms and like its own kind of unique like breeds of Pokemon that are around. It's like it's a very like easy to like define the boundaries of that.
Yeah, more than anywhere else in the city, I think that Pokemon Go on the University of Calgary is a localized thing. Like you can do, there's Pokestops, there's gyms, you can do whatever you want to do
without
leaving the campus.
And without leaving Wi-Fi, which is a big thing for a lot of people. There's like people literally just come to the U of C with the express purpose of express purpose of just Pokemon going here. That's like they come here and they're not students and they're just going to go Pokewalking on campus. They call it Pokewalking.
So what are we going to teach kids? What? So it's just like, look outside, look at your app. There's some stops.
I just realized a quick tangent that any verb or noun can be Pokemonized by adding the word Pokey before it.
Yes.
That's true.
It's amazing.
You could, this is our Poke class.
This is our Poke class.
You can
Poke learn.
We're going to have Poke tests and Poke homework.
And you can Poke learn all of the Poke knowledge. And
Poke run. Don't Poke walk to your nearest Poke class.
I'm starting to regret a lot of things. Like right now. Okay, so Pokemon Go to the university. That's
so
a good
that,
one.
Or you can do a class on how to not play Pokemon Go.
See, I like that.
How to just like just get by in your life without experiencing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of isolation, I think. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot of just like, shutting off your senses to the outside world, like bandaging your head probably in a sort of like ritualistic kind of monk type way. So you can't like take in any stimuli of any sort, because right now every source of all things that you hear, all things that you see, all things that you touch or smell are related to Pokemon now.
Literally.
Yeah.
But though, going back to the first one there, an interesting one way that you can like integrate the game into like university classes is like with evolutions and things, because there's a lot of things out there about the math of Pidgeys, essentially, in that like on the university campus you catch dozens and dozens and dozens of Pidgeys and how to like maximize getting the most like experience points from evolving a certain amount, transferring a certain amount, and all of that. There's like actually like complicated math related to that.
Okay, you kind of you touched on something that's potentially very interesting with the evolution thing. How about the biology of Pokemon? Let's crack that nut open.
Oh, no.
So I got some questions, and I know you two aren't technically qualified to answer them, but I'm going to pose them to you anyway. What do Pokemon eat, huh?
Other Pokemon that they kill in battle.
Yeah. The flesh of their enemies.
All right. So set up that situation for me.
And actually, they don't kill Pokemon in battle, because Pokemon can be revived.
Yeah, they faint and you revive them. Yeah. So that's obviously wrong.
Maybe okay. Pokemon, like, absorb from the environment?
No, that's cowardly.
Well, you can feed them berries.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they have, like, functioning stomachs of some sort.
Yeah, they do love berries. All of them like berries. Even the ghosts? What are the ghosts?
Yeah, how do ghosts eat berries?
There's a lot of problems, isn't there? There's a lot of rich, juicy problems. Are there other animals that live alongside Pokemon? Or have we just assumed in adopting Pokemon Go that all their animals are now non-canon?
Well, no, they are. Because when you have your, like, if you have your Pokemon Go app open, you see a Pokemon. And you can also see, like, your neighborhood cat or whatever.
But maybe that's just,
exists on a different plane.
Maybe that's just because they need to get patched out. In further generations, they're just, like, in totality, there are like 700 Pokemon now. There are no gaps left to fill. There's a Pokemon for every animal, every like object, everything conceivable. So like you could just replace all animals with Pokemon nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's literally a pile of garbage that's a Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. There's like six dogs. There's like 17 birds. And that's how many real life birds there are.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, the sizes of Pokemon are not to scale with real life. Like, if you look on, like, your Pokemon Go app, you could have an extra large Pidgey that weighs, like, 80 kilograms. Mm-hmm. And then you can have an extra small Pidgey that weighs, like, 0.4 kilograms.
An 80-kilogram Pidgey would be really big, huh?
That'd be a big-ass bird.
Yeah, it'd be really big. That's, like,
it would take down trees when it lands on top of them.
Just be like, boom. Either that or maybe it's very dense. Because, like,
oh,
they
no,
don't
like,
give,
like just, antimatter.
Yeah. It's just, like, this lead rock.
Oh, that's sick. That's what I choose to believe. Okay, so biology of Pokemon, because like there's a lot to argue about their philosophy of Pokemon.
Yeah, I think about the ethics.
Ethics of Pokemon.
Ethics to like catch and train and fight these animals against each other, probably against their will, frankly, because they can run away from you.
Yeah. So the Pokemon canon has established a lot of very challenging things. A, that apparently any Pokemon, if it tries hard enough, can learn and speak the human language, English. As evidenced by Meowth, who just, in canon, just reads enough books that he learns English. What? That means that theoretically any Meowth is just like a kindergarten class away from like talking.
Yeah. And so we assume, I don't know if anyone's ever given any other Pokemon books, but we assume that all Pokemon are capable of becoming literate.
Yeah. Which they like, all understand. They all understand commands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So At the very least, they're all dog intelligence.
Maybe like parrots, if they can like speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but parrots don't have any understanding of what they're saying. No, Meowth really knows how they, he like knows how to form sentences, right?
Yeah. Parrots don't really understand. That's up for debate. But in any interpretation of that, we still don't make them kill each other.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a pretty like big difference.
But they aren't killing each other.
Well,
yeah, no one dies.
They're just seriously harming each other and putting them out of action.
They just
there's
black
a lot
out.
It seems like there's a lot of pain involved.
Yeah, their screams are not, like, pleasant.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of, like, shooting each other with fire and lightning and, like, earthquakes. How are Pokemon doing all that? They're wizards, right?
Well, maybe Pokemon don't like follow the same like laws of physics and whatnot that we do.
Yeah, I think the only way any of it can be explained is by saying that Pokemon exists on another plane.
Which, like, augmented reality. Do you see a Pokemon here right now?
That's true. They're all cyber beasts.
But if we turn on our app, I imagine that we'll see probably a little Rattata sitting in the corner of the room.
Probably a Rattata. I'm
probably
gonna find
a, it. I hate Rattata. I hate Rattata in his little
face. Is it Rattata or Rattatat?
Rattatat is a band.
Rattatat, it is. You're right.
I thought
it was Rattata. Rattata. It's definitely Rattata.
I thought it was Rattata.
It's Rattata, Rattata, or...
There's no T at the end, but it is Rattata.
I think that...
Rattata.
I think it's a Rattata. Rattata. I think it's a hard A.
I think Rattata. It's Frittata. I think it's Nelly Furtado.
Yes.
Anyways, we could probably make people very angry by... mispronouncing Pokemon like that.
Oh, man. We can do a class on how to troll people who play Pokemon Go.
Ooh.
Which would be very easy, I think.
Low-hanging fruit right there.
Yeah.
Literally low-hanging fruit, because they'll walk into it.
Yeah. like, full clarification. Jason, are you playing it?
No. I did some playing of it this weekend. I was out camping with some friends, and they had the app. We were by Brooks, Alberta, which, fun fact, has two Pokemon gyms.
Oh.
In the whole city.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're not opposed to the app necessarily.
I'm not opposed to it. I like it. I just don't have the time.
Okay. I enjoy it. I've been playing it. And Melanie, you've been playing it quite a bit as well.
I'm level 15 now.
But oh man, would it be so easy to make fun of people who like that
Oh
game?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just and really upset them.
Last night, Liv and I were down on 17th and somebody had set up a quadruple lure outside of Analog. And there was like 50 people there just sitting in that little park on their phones, Pokemoning in the rain.
Imagine just walking up to that with a megaphone being like, you guys nerds. Are all nerds, nerds, playing a child's game. Even if you don't, that sounds so mean though. Mm-hmm. I can't bring myself to do that.
No, there's better ways of doing it.
Yeah. I think
saying like, yeah, I caught a Pidgey.
Or there's people who troll by being like, yo, I saw a Gyarados over there.
That's a good one.
You want to go look at it?
Okay, so we haven't really hit any, I think...
We've just been talking about Pokemon
big
Go.
Big nuggets. We've just kind of been talking about Pokemon Go. How can we... Okay, again, how can we make kids sign up for a course about Pokemon Go?
Either, like, how to win Pokemon Go is what the people want.
How to win Pokemon Go. But, like, you can't... It's just about tapping it over and over again and having
the
potions.
There's a lot of strategy to, like winning in gyms, but there's also winning in, like, gaining levels, right? Like, the whole idea of, like I said, Pidgey math in relation to, like, lucky eggs and stuff is things that, like... There's a lot of stuff that I've learned.
There's lucky eggs?
So
this
lucky,
is a deep wormhole.
Yeah, a lucky egg is an item that doubles your XP that you earn for
yeah,
half
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah, yeah, I know what lucky eggs are. I've played Pokemon.
Okay, Jason. Okay. But like that kind of stuff, like, or like on campus, some of the people I talked to for my article have devised like walking routes. So like they like have a route specifically where they can hit every
traveling salesman.
Yeah, where they hit every Pokestop.
Yeah. Traveling salesman, for those who don't know, is a computer science algorithm that where you like plug in a graph, which is a bunch of like points and lines between them, and it finds the fastest route.
Yeah. People have done that. People have like memorized which doors at the U of C are unlocked after midnight. Like,
I think we got this one. It's how to be a tryhard in Pokemon
Go.
Yeah,
exactly.
How to be a tryhard.
Number one rule, you must have a Dragonite.
Yes, apparently. Jesus, where do you get one of those?
I don't know. Down
by
the
river, I
think.
You have to find mini
Dratinis. Yeah,
there's a lot. I heard there's a lot by Eau Claire.
You can find
like by Chinatown.
Yeah. You can find a full Dragonite if you look out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You can find fully evolved Pokemon. Yep. They're just really, really rare. Yeah. I like this though. I like not only that, but like ensuring that being a tryhard in other games involves a number of things. One involves caring too much.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to teach kids how to care too much about this game, Pokemon Go. It involves going to exceptional lengths to get even the slightest advantage.
Yeah.
In the meta. And it involves actively ruining other people's enjoyment of the game.
I don't know if that one applies to Pokemon Go.
No, it doesn't, but I think it should. Because because in the other Pokemon games, even think of the theme song. I want to be the very best. Like, no one ever was. You have to be the best. There's a singularity to being a great Pokemon trainer in any of the other games. The
thing with Pokemon, I want to be one of the best.
But the thing with Pokemon Go, like the game mechanics of it, is it's very much cooperative in the sense that like you could not take down a gym by yourself.
Hmm.
You need to like find other people from your color and like attack it all at once in order to like accomplish anything in terms of the gym structure of the game.
Or you can have a lot of patience.
A lot of patients have a hell of a ton of potions.
And that's what being a tryhard is all about.
But also, you won't be able to hold the gym because you have to have Pokemon in the spots, right? And you can only put one of your own Pokemon in there at once. So people will just take the gym back from you immediately.
Okay, then it's about taking advantage of others.
There's got to be a Pokemon.
Yeah, it's taking advantage of others.
There's got to be someone on top of the gym.
Yeah, you can be on top of the gym, but you have to have other people help you to, like, support that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're you're the people who have sworn...
Fealty to you.
That's a great way of putting it. Sworn fealty to you and your cause.
Yeah.
It's about, okay, so we're pretty much building here is a situation where we're teaching people to be like Pokemon Go demagogues. We're able to rally like a group of other Pokemon Go players around them and like launch a crusade of sorts across a city, taking every gym.
Yeah, all for one color.
All for one color, which is the color that we will explicitly tell people to choose.
Blue.
I'm in blue, and I agree, but I think that like we got to give people the underdog so that they have a chance.
Of yellow.
So I think yellow.
I don't know, yellow on campus right now.
You know what, honestly, I think people make their own choice, and they got to live with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's part of the test, too.
Part of the test, yeah. And I think that it shouldn't matter if you're enough of a political strongman to just like rally. Okay, it's going to be a lot of like populism and a lot of grandstanding speeches.
Yeah, and a lot part of this is also like convincing your friends to play the game. Because like one thing that happened with like a group of people I play Pokemon Go with a lot is like they got it and they're like, we're Team Blue. You have to be Team Blue. And then they went out to capture a gym and they're like, come with us and help us capture the gym. And so like, I'm one of the people that you would want to swear fealty to you. Because I'm like not powerful enough on my own. But I can help somebody else on their like rise to power.
It's like a multi-level marketing scheme, low-key.
It's a pyramid scheme.
It totally is, yeah.
Pokemon Go's a pyramid scheme.
Okay, so we teach kids very basics. Like the first part of the course is going to be like traveling salesman thing, how to optimize your grind to get the best items, to get all your XP, to level up your pokes. We teach catching tactics, AR off. You got to turn AR right off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't kill that battery.
Battery optimization techniques.
But how to use the curveball and all that stuff.
How to use the curveball. Power leveling. And then, so that's like the first bit of the course, but that's just like really... That's just getting the vocabulary down so that you can start learning the language. And the language is being able to rally together a sort of militia cities with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the same kind of like, I don't know if either of you have played Eve. I don't know. I'm asking you that. You have not played Eve. That's the same kind of like reason why people go to games like that, is that like power fantasy of being able to like lead, like to be a leader of like a movement.
Yes.
Right. And I think that like we're going to seed that leadership initiative in all of our students so they can go back to wherever they came from. We're going to ship in kids from around the world. This is the sort of thing where we like find kids X-Men style.
This is the international college that Elizabeth Cannon dreamed of.
Yes. We're going to find kids like Harry Potter style. They're going to get a fucking Pidgey come down the chimney with a letter. And it's like, you have been chosen. You're level 23, and you're the only person in your small town who like knows anything about Pokemon. You get to come to Calgary,
where there's so many Pokestops,
and you will get to learn how to be a great leader of our time.
And you'll never have to catch a Weedle again.
No, well, a part of it's catching a lot of Weedles. Yeah, so you can grind them points.
That's true.
And so that's all very good. How are we going to control the monsters that we create? I'm just gonna put that out there.
Well, I mean, just based on the way the game works, not everyone can end up actually being a leader, right?
Yes.
You need the Melanies of the world there to help along.
So I'm just going to jump right to the end game here. This is like an Ender's Game type situation, right? Where we're trying to find like the best person.
The very best.
And that person is going to more or less... There's going to eventually be one person in this class who rallies the other members of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, leads them on just a planet-destroying Pokemon journey.
I think that this class in its structure should really actually just embody the straight up lyrics of the Pokemon theme song, because they want to be the very best like no one ever was.
Yes, to catch them is my real test.
The very test is to catch them.
Yes.
And then to train them is their cause.
You can't finish the class unless you got all 151.
Yes, yeah, and to train them is my cause. You're not training the Pokemon, you're training the people around you.
Yes. Well, and also the Pokemon.
And also the Pokemon. But you, like, in this game, you don't train Pokemon the same way you do in other Pokemon games.
You also catch people's minds.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like,
and their souls and their hearts.
It's multi-leveled.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, oh my God. Well, if you got to get off 151 to graduate, that means only like...
No, 151 is too high a bar. That's insane.
We expect a lot from our students.
Yeah, we expect a lot, but I don't think you can even fucking get a Mewtwo, right?
That's up to...
You can pass,
but you're not getting an A+ unless you can show me a Mewtwo. I don't care if that means driving down to Niantic and holding someone hostage. You're getting a Mewtwo or no A+. I'm the Whiplash guy. I'm the J.K. Simmons of this. It's like you're not getting an A+ unless you show me Mewtwo.
So it's like Whiplash plus Ender's Game, but with Pokemon.
Yes. Yeah. Ender's Game. Oh, and all the labs are just like pitting like... everyone chooses teams, and it's just like there's a gym, and it's like everyone's gonna fail unless, except for the team that controls the gym at the end of the lab.
Yep. So this is a poli-sci class, right? Because we're teaching people how to be populous.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, no, this isn't listed on the registry.
I think I disagree. I think that this falls really well into poli-sci, and I think giving it a categorization is like important.
Okay.
Because like once we pull out the it isn't listed on the registry card, like all of our courses from here on out are going to fall into that.
Yeah, we've already done multiple shadow courses.
Yeah, part of the fun of this is like listing it under a faculty that already exists.
Okay, right? Are we still doing the Harry Potter thing?
Of course.
Okay, so we're still like recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Recruit. Okay.
It's like Asha. You know, like Asha is a course that like only certain people are allowed to take, but it's still like a course, right?
Yeah. Also, no one knows what that is.
Arts and Science Honors Academy.
Yeah, you have to apply for it as like a high school student, and then you can only take the courses if you're like accepted as an Asha student.
Okay, but Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So there's an application process where you have to show like your Pokédex. You got to show how many gyms you've unlocked. You got to show your collection.
And you also have to show like your location to like give proof that like, you know, it's a lot more impressive if you have that stuff when you're living in like Brooks, Alberta, as opposed to if you're living in New York City or something. Right? I think there's a certain amount of scale to that. Like if you can accomplish like a big lot coming from like Brooks or something.
No, but if you're in New York and you can take over a gym, there's so much competition.
Oh, that's also true.
That means that you've clearly got layers. Something.
Imagine
there.
Having that on your resume, like being the gym leader at like
Empire State.
Yeah, Empire State gym leader. That would be so incredible. Or like a Grand Central.
Yeah, and that I've managed to so completely get people to buy into it that I always 24/7 have guards posted constantly raising the prestige. Yeah. It's level 20 right now, and it's just going up. And people will come by and see that, and they'll say, no, thank you. I've been gym leader for 3 years of the Empire State Building. That's the kind of people that we're trying to build.
Those are the people that we want.
Because, like, the ownership of a gym is so, like, fleeting.
It is.
And it's so easy to take a gym than to hold it, that we're trying to get people together who could convince others to essentially meat shields to hold a gym for them.
Yeah. It was funny. Side note, when I was Pokemon hunting this weekend, we captured this gym like in Sam's neighborhood, mm-hmm. and some guy drove past us in a truck and said, fuck you just took my gym.
Yes.
This actually happened in real life.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. And that's where the actively ruining the enjoyment of others thing comes in.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what being a tryhard's all about. So, okay, I like this. So again, we recruit people from around the world. You're the best at Pokemon. We bring them in. We teach them how to be populist leaders. So like a lot of taking pictures of you with your shirt off working a field.
Okay, we have to be careful that we don't create Pokemon Hitler.
Okay, that's a little too far.
We have to be very cautious of that.
We won't make a Pokemon Hitler. We can make like a Pokemon Trump. Who cares?
Yeah, we're trying to make a explicitly Pokemon Trumps. Like someone who's just able to play, like to just play the game, you know, in all senses of the term, who's able to just like play the field, convince people to their cause, like seemingly do no wrong, and just like lead a revolution. A Pokemon revolution. Okay. All right. So.
And all people who aren't part of Team Yellow, they're left behind. Too bad.
Yeah, too bad. So exams. So labs are just full on like, here's a gym. Go
either
nuts.
Here's a gym or like, it's like immersive, like a group of people like you have an hour and you go out and you can go catch things and
okay.
do stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. labs have to be more low stakes.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. It's like one of the guys I talked to referred to it as farming. It's like you go out and you like collect things from the Pokestops and you catch things and stuff. It's like
which isn't glamorous, but it's necessary.
There'll be lessons like that. That's where we'll show people like
how to ball technique and stuff like that.
Yeah, ball technique. we'll show.
maps of like where Pokemon are distributed. It's yes, there's a Vulpix spawning spot right here. If you see and like
traveling
that kind of thing.
Traveling salesman type stuff.
Yeah,
that's where we'll show people like. We'll get people like part of the lab is you have to pick up artist style, go up to people and say like, hey, do you want to join my militia?
I like that. We can do PUA stuff too. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. No, I was talking to the focus testers for the podcast and they said more PUA stuff. So we're going to add some more, there's some PUA stuff. So there's going to be a lot of like sarging. There's going to be a lot of like just going up to people and say, will you join my Pokemon militia, please? I can offer you nothing besides
glory.
The promise of glory.
What about negging?
There's going to be some negging. You're saying, oh, you got those? You're using those Pokemon?
I mean, that's okay, but like...
But that's...
But you could have a Dragonite.
I mean, that's an interesting choice, yeah. That you're... Oh, you're using a Pidgeot still? That's interesting. That's not what I would do, but I can respect that, I guess. And so exams will be the like pit fight gym thing, where it's like... I think we have to make it so that the gym is the class is evenly split between all three teams,
mm-hmm.
and a test will be like you have to see who could control this gym the longest within a period of an hour.
Yep,
I think that's interesting.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, and then like you're studying for your test and doing your labs is like building up your Pokemon teams and buying all your potions and all.
You're
that
like
stuff.
A term project too would be the Pokedex thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That is your term project, is your Pokédex. No,
another important note, people have to be like banned from spending real money in the game.
Yeah, no pay to win.
I think we got to get like an educational version of the app where you start from a fresh slate.
Yeah.
And everyone's given like a phone that only has Pokemon Go on it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's your Pokemon Go phone. You got to fill up this blank Pokédex and like you don't even have access to the store.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use like if you get money from gyms,
yes.
you can use that.
But you can't buy Pokemon coins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's like very unfair.
And then there's going to be a lot of time spent on mentally dealing with server crashes.
Oh, there's actually just a whole section of the course. It's just going to be meditation and mindfulness.
God, that game's infuriating.
It's doing it right now.
Half the time you do any action in that game, it does not work.
Yep.
Half the time you try to visit a Pokestop. Half the time you try to battle someone at a gym. Half the time you try to catch a Pokemon. Does not work. Yep.
You gotta catch a Pokemon and then it freezes and you're like, did I catch it? Did I not catch it? Guess I'm going to find out later.
And the best part was is that someone was like, a lot of people were like, oh, like when I was complaining about this before the official Canadian release, they were like, oh, it's like you're complaining. It's not working, but it's not even supposed to be here yet. So cut some slack. Like, it is out in Canada now, still just as bad as it's always been.
Mm.
No change. So it's a barely functioning game, but we are going to still take this incredibly seriously with Poli-Sci 5. Oh, Poli-Sci 151.
Yes.
Oh, that's very good, Sean.
Poli-Sci 151.
Good job.
How to try hard at Pokemon.
I love it.
I love that. Is there a red course and a blue course?
You can only catch some Pokemon in the red course, right? Yeah.
Or like, what? How would that translate? Like, you only learn some of the stuff.
That's like, they wouldn't teach you some skills. You got to take both classes if you want the complete knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we're going to get them.
Be the very, very best.
And then a couple years down the line, there'll be a yellow version, which is the complete version of the course, of course. But
of course.
Yeah. But, you got to take that separately if you want again, the full experience. You've been listening to Course Correction. This is a podcast that is brought to you by The Gauntlet, the University of Calgary's university student newspaper. Melanie and Jason both work for The Gauntlet. What's up in The Gauntlet this week?
This week it's all about Pokemon Go.
Well, holy shit, I guess.
Pick up our beautiful paper for a cover about Pokemon Go, an editorial about why Pokemon Go is good in relation to like public art and socializing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a an expose called Pokemon Go After Dark about the people who come to campus to play Pokemon Go at night.
Let's talk about other things. There's also a Calgary Folk Fest preview.
And there's some
local art stuff.
There's local art stuff, and there's a preview with an interview with the assistant head coach of the Dinos women's hockey team, who used to be an NHL player, for teams that I did not know were NHL teams at one point.
The Hartford Whalers?
I did not know about the Hartford Whalers.
Love the Hartford Whalers.
And they played up against the Quebec Nordiques. Which I did not know either of those teams were NHL teams.
Well, Quebec moved to Colorado and Hartford moved to Carolina.
Oh.
3-0.
The more you know.
3-0.
The more you know. Anyways, that's in the gauntlet this week.
Yep.
And you can find that all at thegauntlet.ca. And of course, this is also brought to you by CJSW, where we use their space to record. And I work for CJSW, and you can find our stuff at cjsw.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Williton, W-I-L-L-E-T-T-O-N. Melanie, you are?
I'm at mel.a.woods.
I'm at Jason F. Herring, no dots.
No dots. You finally got rid of that baneful two.
Yes, I used to be Jason Herring 2, and my bio was just, can you believe that there's already a Jason Herring and a Jason Herring 1?
And this has been Course Correction. My name is Sean Willett, and I'm not mad.
I'm Melanie Woods, and I'm also not mad.
My name is Jason Herring, and I'm so mad that I can't even operate right now.